If you haven't already, turn to the 11th chapter of Hebrews. Many people call this the faith chapter. One of the most wonderful chapters in the New Testament. But I want to just start with choosing three verses out of the middle of the chapter. Verses 13 through 16. And these verses say, "These all died in faith without having received the promise. But they saw them from a distance, greeted them, and confessed that they were foreigners and temporary residents on the earth. Now those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been remembering the land they came from, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they aspire to a better land, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them." Let us pray once more. Our Lord and Savior, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you've had men write down the things you wanted them to write down for us to know today. And these scriptures are holy in your sight, and they are good for our knowledge and our learning and our growth. And Lord, I pray that you would use me tonight to talk about faith, that is a faith that is real and it is good for us and is what we live by and it is available to all people. Help me, Lord, to speak your word in truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Faith is not something that we dream up. It's something that God plants in our hearts and helps us to live. And the first point that we know tonight is that faith looks forward. Faith always looks forward. Now, faith is defined in the first verse of Hebrews 11, where he says, faith, and I want to use the King James Version. The King James Version I like much better than the way Holman reads. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The reason I like that is the word, the substance. Substance is something that you can hold on to. It's something that's graspable, palpable. It's real. And that's the reason that Holman uses the word, the reality of what is hoped for. But the substance. Faith is not a fairy tale belief. Faith is not something that you dream up. It's not a dreamland. It's not a dream world. It's not a make-believe. It's not something you think that's there and it's not reality. Faith is very real. And I want you to know that faith is not a sign of weakness, as some in the modern world would like you to believe. Faith in Jesus Christ is not a sign of weakness. One of the best examples of this comes from early in Christianity. In the year 156 AD, in the city of Smyrna, Gail would like that word. She had a church she used to go to when she's a kid, child, whose name is Smyrna. Smyrna Church. But then the city of Smyrna, there the persecution of the Christians was getting hot and heavy. It was really coming down hard, and the Roman centurions were rounding up all the Christians they could find and were really putting them heavy to the persecution. And if they wouldn't disavow Christianity and they wouldn't swear allegiance to Caesar, they would do unspeakable things. And one of those things was to burn them at the stake. Crucifixion was used a little bit, but not so much in Smyrna. Beheading, torture, and burning at the stake. And it came to their minds that if they could make an example of the bishop of Smyrna, a man named Polycarp, then the people would certainly turn away from Christianity. Now, the Bishop of Polycarp was 86 years old at this time. He had been the Bishop of Smyrna for many years. So if they could make an example of him, now that would show the people. But the Roman centurion was not very willing to execute an old man. He didn't want to execute Polycarp. And he begged the old man, please, you don't have to make this so very hard. Just say, Ave Caesar. You can be let off. You wouldn't have to go too far. And Polycarp refused. He would not say anything that would denigrate his Savior and his Lord. He said, I have served faithfully, 86 years I have served him, and he has done no wrong. How can I blaspheme my Savior and my King? So they tied him to the stake and burned him alive. I don't think that's of faith that is one of sweetness. That's a sign of great strength and courage. No, faith is not a sign of weakness by any means. Faith is substance. Faith is knowing what you cannot prove. It's knowing what you cannot prove. It's having the knowledge that what God has promised will come true because He has said so. Faith is reality that transcends the physical. It's the reality that is going to come because God has promised and it is so. Because so many things have already come true and it's provable by that which has already happened. God has promised and it has already come about. And history proves it. And now we have it that He's promised so many things. Faith is what is having what cannot be had any other way. And you can have it. And it's real. Faith is hope that is secure. Faith is not a wish. Faith is true. Hebrews 6, 17 through 19. I'm going to depend on Linda tonight. Because God wanted to show His unchangeable purpose even more clearly to the heirs of the promise, He guaranteed it with an oath. So that through two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to seize the hope that's set before us. We have this hope, like a sure and firm anchor of the soul that enters the sanctuary behind the curtain. We have not a wish, but hope for the present. The hope that a Christian has is the surety that that which God has promised will come about. We're not wishing for the future. We're looking forward to that which Jesus has promised, and we know it is going to happen. Knowing that it's going to happen. I like the way the prophets in the Old Testament gave prophecies. They would prophesy the future in the present tense. It has already happened, or in the past tense. They would prophesy the future in the past tense. It has happened. Now, what they were prophesying was not happening for hundreds of years to come. But they prophesied it as if it had already been done. Because what God promised is already a fact. The virgin gave birth, says the prophet. And 500 years later, a virgin gave birth. But he prophesied it in past tense. Because when God says it, it's so. Jesus said, I will return. And folks, it's going to happen. We might as well put it in past tense. Because it's going to happen. Now, those people who say, well, look, it's been over 2,000 years. And he hasn't returned yet. Does that make it wrong? No. Our Lord is coming again. In power to reign. It's a certainty. It's going to happen. I don't know when. I might not get to finish the sentence I'm saying. But it's going to happen. Hope for a certainty for the present and a victory in the future. Hope that is sure. It's secure. And an earnest expectation. Waiting with certainty. Waiting with certainty. A promise already fulfilled. And we have a belief with no reservations. No reservations. We don't wonder. We don't wonder. We believe that God is. Verse 6 says that, now without faith, it is impossible to believe God. For the one who draws near to Him must believe that He exists. And He rewards those who seek Him. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. We must believe. So that's how we know that we can please God. You know, there's evidence all around. Romans 1:20 tells us that from the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, that is, His eternal power and His divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood through what He has made. As a result, people are without excuse. God's creation speaks of His existence. It tells us there is a God who made everything. Now, we have people who claim to be atheists, I know. But even Aborigines believe in a higher power. I use the word Aborigines because that's people who are in native countries without any written language, any literature of any kind, wherever they are in the world. The native peoples anywhere, without literature, and without exception, every one of them worships a higher power, a creator of some sort. Every one of them knows there's somebody who made all this. Without exception. And somebody who claims to be so literate and so wise and so knowing that they can say, oh no, there's no such thing as God, are only fooling themselves. Everybody knows somebody had to create all this. It didn't come from nothing. There's somebody who has to have planned it and made it. And God says anybody who says different is without excuse. Even the Aborigines know. God rewards those who seek Him. And that's an uplifting promise. In sorrow or in pain. In difficult times, when things aren't going well, we know that when we seek God in faith, believing He is, and He's a rewarder of those who seek Him, that sets our hearts at ease and makes hard times easier to go through. And so by meaningful meditation, we can know that God is on our side no matter what. But it's only by faith. By faith. And that affects how we live. It affects how we look at what's going on. It affects how we let things affect what's happening to us. And we can be confident in the Spirit, who speaks to our spirit that we are in His hand and we can be aware of Him. Now, we have a lot of example from people in the past, and that's what a lot of the verses that I skipped talk about. And I'll talk about three. There's a lot more of it. And you like reading chapter 11, don't you? I do too. A lot of examples. But Noah is a great example. I like talking about Noah. Noah was a man who lived way back yonder in the hills of what we now know as Israel. And one day God came and talked to him and he said, Noah, I want you to build me an ark. Now, I don't want to call this a boat. Now, people knew about boats a little bit back in those days. Now, we're talking about 1400 B.C. There weren't a lot of boats built back then. Mostly, it was built by primitive peoples. They would take sticks and shape them into a form of a tub, wrap them with animal hides, put some mud type stuff on them to seal them, maybe little oils, and float them across the river to make river crossings. That's mostly what boats were used for back that far. Make river crossings. They didn't hold a lot of people. And they were made for one-time use. Get across and go on your way. Leave them on the riverbank. No, but God said to Noah, I want you to make me an ark. Now, by definition, an ark is a box. And I want you to make me a big box, about 450 feet long, 150 feet wide, 75 feet high. Okay, because it's going to rain. And Noah goes, huh? Well, there's a new word. Now, you know, you can't look that up in a dictionary. They didn't have a dictionary back then. Rain? What's rain? You know the hardest part about that? They'd never had rain yet. By that time, only a bit dew from the ground and mist that came up. That's how God watered the earth until then. It had never rained yet. And God says it's going to rain. And he goes, huh? Now, you talk about trusting God? Having faith in what he has to say? It's going to rain. Okay. And it's going to flood. It's going to what? Now, if it's never rained, what's it going to be? What's flood? They never had that before. Never happened. He didn't know what that is. God said it. Okay. Build an ark because it's going to rain and it's going to flood. And I don't know what those are, but God said build an ark. So Noah set upon building an ark. And he put his boys to work. And they built an ark for a long time. And they sealed it with tar inside and out, made three-story levels on it. And God said, I'm going to bring two of every animal, type of every animals into this ark for you. Okay. I want you to get all kinds of food for them. Grain and straw and hay. Bring all that food into this ark because the animals are coming. Okay. You talk about faith. He told him to build an ark. Cover it with pitch inside and out. Make it totally waterproof. Because it's going to rain and it's going to flood. And he didn't know what either one of those was. And he's going to bring animals. And one day he brought animals. I'm sure it took a few days to make it happen, but it happened. And he said, you get inside this ark. And took his family inside And God closed the door. And it began to rain. And it rained for 40 days and 40 nights, and waters came up from the ground, and it flooded the whole earth. And God, Noah and his family were inside that ark for the better part of a year before the rains could finally drain from the land. Now that took faith. That took faith. Noah had to believe something that had never happened before and follow God's explicit instructions and do what God said to do. And you know what? Noah and his family were saved by his faith. You're going to hear that theme come on over and over again. God called Abraham from the land of the Chaldees. And he was living in Haran with his daddy. And he said, I want you to go over to a country that you've never seen before. You take your family, gather up your belongings, and move. And I'll show you when you get there. Now, in a time period whenever people settled with their family and it was a very clannish existence, said, I want you to leave your family. I want you to move to a place you've never been, and I'll show you when you get there. And Abraham said, okay. And he gathered up his family and he left. And his nephew Lot said, I want to go with you. And he said, okay, come on. That takes faith, folks. It's not like today when we can get in our car and drive wherever we want to go. He had to take maybe some animals with him and drive them along and walk and move. And he didn't know when he was going to get there. Didn't know where it was. But God said, I want you to go and I'll show you when you get there. And once he got into the country, which was some 600 miles away, you want to walk 600 miles? Carry all you belong with you as you go? Wow. When he got there, God said, you look as far as you can see, north, south, east, and west, and one of these days, this is going to belong to your children and your grandchildren and all your descendants. It'll be theirs. Abraham didn't have any children. God says, you're going to have children. Abraham was 75 years old at that time. Sarah was 65. And Abraham, God said, you're going to have children. And Abraham believed him. And what does Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and he was considered faithful. His faith was accredited to him as righteousness. Abraham believed him when he was old. We know that things didn't always work out according to plan. But God came to Abraham when he was 89 years old. And Sarah still had not had any children. And God said, this time next year, you're going to have a child by Sarah. And Abraham still believed him. Sarah laughed about it. But Abraham believed him. And the next year, Sarah had a child when she was 90 years old. Abraham was 100. I gave the wrong age at that time. But Abraham was 100, Sarah was 90, 25 years after the original promise. Abraham still believed him. He had faith when he was old. And Abraham, according to Scripture, was saved by his faith. Because his faith was credited to him as righteousness. and then Moses. God called Moses after he had run away from his murdering a man in Egypt, lived in the wilderness on the mountainside tending sheep. And God spoke to him out of a burning bush and called him to be the leader who would lead God's people out of slavery in Egypt. Go back and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. After a little hesitation and convincing, Moses accepted God's position of leadership. He and Aaron went back to Egypt. And once he accepted the position of leadership, Moses was faithful through a lot of hardships. Oh, Pharaoh wasn't very accepting of Moses' petition. He was stiff-necked and he was hard-hearted. God had to give him a lot of difficulties and a lot of plagues. And after the 10th and final plague of the death of the firstborn, Pharaoh said, get these people out of here. I'm done with them. And Moses led the people out. And the people were not easy to lead. I think they must have been half Baptist. They were troublemakers. They were grumblers. They were difficult. But Moses led them. And he would tell God whenever he had difficulties. He would talk to God. But he stayed faithful as a leader of the people through the wilderness, even through the 40 years, and he led his people. Moses was saved by his faith because he trusted God to be his leader and his Lord. Moses was saved by his faith. The third and most important point of my talk tonight is that we are always saved. Faith is the means of salvation. Faith is the means of salvation. Always. You know, the writer of Hebrews says these people looked for a city. They were not looking back to where they came from. They were looking for a city. And you know what he's talking about if you know anything about Christianity. He's talking about heaven. They were all looking forward to the heavenly home that God was promising them the whole time. They were looking for heaven. Jesus told his followers before he was crucified, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And that place is heaven. Jesus is preparing a place for all believers. That where He is, there we may be also. He has prepared a place for all who will give. And this place is given to all who believe. All who believe. Who have faith in what Jesus has promised. John 3:16, God sent His only beloved Son that all who believe in Him should not perish but have eternal life. All who believe. That's faith, folks. We just need to have faith that Jesus is who He says He is. The faith of a little child. Jesus brought the little children among Him and He pulled one to Himself and He says, you only need to have the faith like this little child. Just believe it. Accept me as the Savior who I say I am. Believe it. And that's how easy it is. So to have the faith of a little child, you need to admit my sinful condition. As Paul wrote in Romans 3:21, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That leaves nobody out. I've sinned, you've sinned, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that's not hard to accept. I think we all agree with that. And so admit my sinful condition and accept Jesus' death on the cross for myself. Jesus died for me. He died in my place. And so because He died in my place, then I can accept His death for me. Jesus came into the world for me, John 3:16. And then believe that my sins will be forgiven when I ask Him to forgive my sins. Jesus said, "He who comes to me, I will in no way cast out." Jesus won't cast me away when I ask Him to forgive me and be my Savior. He won't turn me away. He'll do what He said He'll do. And then confess Him as my Savior. With the heart believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. When I accept Jesus as my Savior, I need to tell somebody. I need to confess. I need to, with my mouth, tell somebody I believe in Jesus. I'm a Christian. There should not ever be any silent Christians. We need to tell somebody. We need to, with our mouth, confess Jesus as my Savior. Now, if there's anybody in here, if there's somebody online, do you want to be a Christian? You want to accept this promise? You want to share this faith? Tonight is the night you should be doing it. You should accept Jesus as your Savior. There's no reason you couldn't. There's no reason you shouldn't. There's no reason to put it off. Today is the day of salvation. Accept Jesus as your Savior and pray the prayer, "Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know that You died for my place. I know that I need to be saved. Would you accept me? Would You forgive my sins? I believe in You. Please be my Savior tonight." Simple as that. And then tell somebody. If you want, call the church office. Tell somebody in the church office, I prayed that prayer. I'm a Christian now. What do I do now?" Simple as that. And somebody will come and counsel with you and tell you what to do. We'll be glad to talk to you. And there'll be somebody talking to you very soon, praying with you, telling you how to live as a Christian. It's a wonderful thing, and I'm glad that you're doing that tonight. God bless you. Let's pray together. Our Lord and Savior, we thank You for the opportunity and the blessing of faith. Lord, increase our faith. We know that it doesn't take a lot of faith to become a Christian. And it doesn't take a lot of faith to live as a Christian. Because even as a grain of mustard seed, it's the exercise of faith that keeps us living as a Christian. Lord, help us to live by faith. Thank You, Lord, that You are Savior. Thank You, Lord, that You are our Lord day by day, and You keep us in Your care. Guide us throughout this week and help us to live for You. Through Jesus, I pray. Amen.